Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we studied and received into our hearts the magnificent gospel at the beginning of John chapter 15. Jesus is the vine. You, the people of God, are the branches. In that command, he commanded, abide in me. The Lord is looking out for you, dear Christian, in revealing to you how to remain in life, not death, in the peace that God has won for you, not alienation and separation from God. He has given to you this peace. And while we had a clue last week in terms of the signs that we do indeed abide in Christ, remain with Christ, staying in Christ, namely, from last week, his words which remain in you. Secondly, the fruit, more fruit, much fruit, pointing to the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. But there's more to be said. We certainly praise God for these great signs, these great assurances. These are indeed great consolations that you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are signs that the peace of God is in your life. We need such signs along the way, simply because life is hard. This past week, I was in the hospital with one of our members who was anxious about her upcoming surgery. So I shared with her Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Going into the surgery, I compared our anxiety to the winds and the waves that buffeted the disciples on the boat on that day that they saw Jesus walking on the water. But when Peter had his mind and his eyes stayed on Christ, nothing else mattered. His fear from the wind and the waves was canceled out. And indeed, for a short time, even Peter walked on the water. The great encouragement, though, continues. Even when in our sin we take our mind and our eyes off of Christ, Christ comes in the midst of our fears and our giving in to those winds and waves. And he pulls us back up, and he gets us back on track. Even while the devil continues to sift us like wheat, Jesus is there constantly to save us. He rescued Peter. He rescues you. So keep your mind and heart on Christ. If you begin to sink, know that the one who died and rose for you will lift you up. He will bring you back. And then keep your mind and heart upon him all over again. And the cycle of grace continues. But our Lord Jesus loves us so much that he elaborates even further on this cycle of grace, if you will. He does not want you to be ambiguous or unclear about how you remain certain that you're connected with him. We need to know this, dear Christians. How easy it is for us to feel that God is far away, to feel as though we have no idea about how to abide in Christ, especially when we are in the midst of trials. How do we remain in his life? How do we remain in this confidence that we all yearn for? He has won for you his peace. His blood covers your sins. God the Father now sees you as a forgiven and holy one in his Son. You have peace with God. We want desperately, however, to remain in this peace. We want desperately to remain in Jesus, our Savior. This makes sense because our sin makes us insecure. It raises the worst doubts in us and tries to convince us that we are unable to go on. That is, our sin is daily trying to pull us out of the arms of Jesus. So Christ, your Savior, pulls you close to himself. And he says with the most compassionate love and mercy, abide in me. But then our sin, the world, and the devil grab our attention again and tries to yank us out of our Savior's arms. This tug of war is the normal Christian life. So needless to say, we need additional resources, more ammo in this battle, more encouragement, and great clarity about how we are going to, in fact, abide in Jesus, so that we would never leave Him, so that we would never be pulled away. This is what our gospel today is for. So Jesus continues His teaching for your great security. And what He is doing is giving you a fortress of security. Going into John 15, the Lord had already assured you of peace. How is it that the Lord would even approach me, a terrible sinner? It is because He has brought peace through His blood. His blood covers your sins. Now you have peace. And going into this peace section in John chapter 14, verse 27, our Lord says this, on top of page 13, let's read these beautiful words from our Savior Jesus. We read together, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." This is the impetus behind knowing that the Lord gladly holds you with all your warts and all, with your doubts, with your struggles. In spite of these, and by covering these with His blood, you now have peace with God. But He knows that you should have even more assurance in your abiding in Him. So, in what follows from today's gospel in John 15 is this: your peace is complemented with love, which is further complemented with joy. Not just any love or joy, mind you, but with a very specific love and a very specific joy. This is what our gospel is about. And be clear, these give answer to exactly how do I know that I abide in Christ? Again, we already know that this is partially answered through His words that abide in you, and through the fruit, the more fruit, the much fruit. But we need more, and He gives you more. He wants you to be confident in your faith, Christian. I hope you take this the right way. The sinful skeptic wants to criticize what has been said thus far. What's the matter? Does God have trouble getting it right? Don't go there. There are actually good reasons as to why the Lord goes this extra step for us. Our good works, while being a sign of our abiding in Christ, can never be the basis for our abiding in Christ. We compromise our confidence regarding our good works, because how often do we do other works which seem to cancel the good that we do? On top of that, even our good works are grossly tainted with sin, and in the end, in themselves, are as unclean rags. Furthermore, the words of our Lord are certainly efficacious and produce fruit and faith. We are to rejoice that His words abide in us. But how often we look away from His words and listen to other words, the words of our flesh, which lure us to live not for God, but for self. The words of the world, which lure us to deeply desire things that will turn to dust. And the words of the devil, which lure us to seek the things of pride and of power. In our sin, we permit words of death to cover the words of life. These impact our peace. These make us restless. And when that happens, we doubt. This is why our Lord takes the next step. Not just His peace, but His love. And not just His love, but His joy. Why are these important? Because, dear Christian, these put you in the life of Christ. The love and the joy of the Lord will not permit us to be bystanders to the faith. The love and joy of the Lord will not permit us to treat the faith as a theoretical thing to be thought about and merely analyzed on a comfortable rocker on our front porch while we sip tea or lemonade. The peace of God and the actual presence of our Savior through His Word and His sacrament compel us to live, to be people of action who know the Lord's action in and through us. Our faith must be active. It can't help but be. And when this happens, the Lord takes away from the skeptic. He takes time away from the skeptic who wants to sit around all day analyzing these things. It takes away doubt from the casual observer, because the casual observer is transformed into an active liver. His or her peace is extended through love and joy. Pastors conduct their work, preaching, teaching, visitation, counsel, evangelism, administration. They have their work like you have your work. There are times when you're happy with your work, when you feel energized about doing your work. But there are other times when you struggle, right? There are times when you're just tired. Going into evening appointments can be challenging after a long day. When our congregation was in Laguna Beach, we had attached to our ministry the servicing of a Good Shepherd Lutheran home, in which it was the pastor's duty to visit on a regular basis. The Lord sent me to visit these Christians with disabilities. On many occasions, I feel as if my mind was full of peace, being reminded of the things of the ministry, perhaps having spent the day working on my sermon or meditating on the Word of God. But the translation as I drove up to the Lutheran home and walked up to the door was not always so impressive. Sometimes it was drudgery, sinfully imagining that I had to affect renew energy to make myself more affected for these with mental disadvantages. What was the Lord doing? He was putting me in a position to love, more importantly, to be loved so that I could continue to love. I would walk through the door and these precious brothers and sisters in Christ, they would take over. And I felt every time that it was the Holy Spirit who was taking over. They love me. They shared the love of Jesus with me. Love took over. We were not loving each other because we had to be good Christians, as if this was some good work to earn God's merit. But we were swept away by the life of Jesus itself. The things of love took over. And when I left, and I cannot think of a single time when this was not true, I felt uplifted. God had not permitted my faith to be mere theory, but He put me into the arena of love. And as we're dealing with all the basic things we deal with, loneliness and discouragement and depression, I tell you the truth. Confess your faith, receive the gifts of word and sacrament, and go forth, my brothers and sisters, and serve in love. There is no better antidote. Love gets us busy in the faith. Love is a translation and the application of our faith. It is a great protector of our faith. It testifies, according to Jesus Himself, that we continue to abide in Him. But I need to make sure that I'm being clear. When our Lord elaborates on abide in me from last Sunday, the vine and the branches, and saying now today in this Sunday's gospel, abide in my love, He is not, first of all, speaking of your love or our love. First things first, He is speaking of His love for you. You want to abide in Christ and remain in the saving faith with great confidence? Then abide in the love that Christ has for you, dear Christian. Jesus loves you. And our Lord makes a comparison. Top of page 16. This is very exciting. As the Father loves Him, Jesus loves you. This is mind-boggling and absolutely true. How much does the Father love the Son? Are we even able to begin to describe such amazing love? Do human words even permit the possibility of our describing such love? At John 3:35, the Word of God says, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand." The Father loves the Son so much that He's given everything to Him. But Jesus is saying more than this. As the Father loves Jesus, Jesus loves you. So now the Father loves you like He loves Jesus. Let's read together on page 16 the highlighted verse about two-thirds of the way down on page 16. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. You see, dear Christian, this is a fact. The Father loves you as much as He loves His only begotten Son. And He backs it up through an active expression of it through the things of His love. but the holy sacrament given to you again this day to keep you in the forgiveness of sins in the Son he loves. That's how much he loves you. As one theologian put it, there is nothing more certain than the love of the Father in Christ for believers. Nothing more certain. And this is where our great protection comes from. Because we know how much we are loved. We do not hear the Lord's command, abide in my love, as drudgery, but as a great gift. This points firstly to the great love that God has for us. This is a fact. And now we are protected so as not to abandon it. How do we abide in his love? Christ clearly answers this question. We want to keep it simple. It's not complicated. Keep my commandments, John 15:10, as I kept my Father's commandments, John 15:10. Needless to say, we must understand what this means. First of all, our Lord and Savior makes it easy for us all. All of his commandments are summed up by one word, love. Okay, but what does this mean? The answer is how Christ loved the Father and kept his commandments. This too is made simple. While the Lord Jesus was on earth, he loved the Father. He was always doing that which pleased the Father. Jesus celebrated the active love of his heavenly Father by actively living for him. Jesus is in no way contradicting himself. He knows your weakness. He knows your sin. He also knows what happens when you celebrate in saving faith the great love that God has for you. Something happens in such a heart. You want to love. Notice the wording. You want to love. But what of my sinful flesh that does not want to love? We get that. As for that, confess it to God. Remain in the forgiveness of sins. But now we speak of a new creation. The new man. The one that rejoices in the love of God. Who knows true joy. The joy that anticipates heaven itself. This is the joy Jesus is describing, not acting like the world that needs happiness and joy on the luck of a bouncing ball that hopefully falls into the right slot, but the joy of knowing the kingdom of God has already been promised to you. It is the joy of knowing that the Father loves you as much as he loves his Son. And this new man who knows such love, this love that is now really yours, loves. We want to please God. And his commandments are not burdensome. We like more and more to love. Love is our faith in action. Love is our protection from ourselves. Love invests into the lives of others. And there's no better place to be. Because to live in self is to live in misery. Staring at yourself all day in the mirror will not build up your soul. But to live for God and to live for others is to live in love. God's love, which extended his only Son for us, is a love we know that extends for others. This is love. It is God's gift that keeps us abiding in Christ by his grace alone. But you must understand the command here. It is not like the old law. Do this or else. This is not a command that fills us with dread and helplessness. This is the love that the love of God itself has produced in you. This love is free. This is love that knows no compulsion. It just flows from the love of God for you. This love is miraculous love. People want signs of God. Well, God has given us the greatest sign that Christ is here. See his love. It's the way his people live. It is the way you live. It is a sign that you abide in Christ. And this causes joy to be in us. We know what life is about. Living in the love of God and sharing his love. This is why we're here. Now we know and this makes us joyful. We know why we're here. We know where we are going, and this is cause for joy. Rejoice in your protection. Rejoice in your assurance, dear Christian. You abide in Christ, and you know you do, through His peace, through His love, and through His joy. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again in glory. Amen. We stand to confess our faith.